Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty C is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty C will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
So though we are in danger, we never despair, 'cause we know that where there's danger, he is there.
He is there, on the land, on the sea, in the air. We're not worrying at all.
Alrighty, I'm back again. It's been a bit longer than I had anticipated. I wanted to get these things out every 2 weeks. It's been about three now. And this week I'm going to even kind of cheat. I've got a slideshow, the audio portion of a slideshow by Mike Shima, discussing, it's kind of an intro to SQL injection attacks. I've discussed SQL injection on my on some previous podcasts, but this one, there is a slideshow that goes along with it that you can get at www.ntobjectives.com that, you know, having the actual visuals of the slideshow are really beneficial. I'm trying to figure out how to deal with the video iPods, or using cover art to show a slideshow or a slide during the presentation. I've seen podcasts where they'll switch cover art for the song that they're playing, and that's pretty cool. As far as I know, that only works when you're using iTunes, not on the iPod. And I'm curious to know if the video iPods show that as well. But in any case, for now we just have the audio portion. So, you know, this is kind of a first for the Mighty Seek podcast here. We're having a guest lecturer being Mike Shima. And I guess I'll just go ahead and get going.
This presentation covers SQL injection and safely testing your production website. Almost all modern web applications are driven by some combination of web servers and a back-end database. The database provides storage for user-specific information. This will be information like credit card numbers, email address, password, as well as something like a home address, phone numbers, or anything else that is personal to that particular user. Web servers provide the interface to the stored information. Dynamic web pages will be generated based on requests of the user and populated with information from the backend database. From an architectural standpoint, this is a very simple view of how the user interacts with the web server, and the web server pulls information from the database. In this case, you have the web server, which generates dynamic pages based on requests such as changing passwords, viewing a personal profile, updating an email address, or perhaps viewing an online form. The user only ever interacts with the web server. The web server interacts with both the user and the database. Therefore, depending on what requests the user is making, the web server then queries that particular information from the database. As we can see, databases drive the user-specific content of the application. So the application itself is generating dozens of queries against the database during a user's visit. Queries can range from the desire to verify passwords, requesting data on product features or availability, such as an online shopping format. They might store email addresses, handle shopping carts, in other words, adding items to a shopping cart, deleting items, changing quantity, or selecting shipping costs, as well as recording financial transactions, if you think of online banking applications, for example. In each of these cases, the query is intended to retrieve a very specific, predetermined piece of information from the database. SQL injection vulnerabilities enable the attacker to disrupt these normal interactions between the database and the application. So instead of retrieving predetermined information, such as a password or an email address, a SQL injection exploit is going to abuse the query in order to perform some exploits such as bypassing a login page, in other words, providing a username but not having to provide a password, retrieving someone else's personal information. Could even be done to delete information or shut down or corrupt information in the database. There's an important distinction here to make about SQL injection attacks. They do not exploit a universal flaw in server software. For example, there is no patch that you can download to patch an Oracle database or a Microsoft SQL Server or a MySQL Server or a PostgreSQL Server to prevent SQL injection attacks. SQL injection exploits exist at the application layer, and they exploit the custom code that's been written by the programmers that transfers data between the web browser to the web server and then to the database backend. Most SQL injection vulnerabilities are identified by examining error messages. So unexpected characters such as a single quote or a double quote or perhaps a semicolon, if these are inserted into a URL parameter or a cookie value, then it may generate an error in the database. This error may be propagated back from the database to the web application server to the web browser. In this manner, an attacker can identify potential SQL injection vulnerabilities by examining what errors are returned by the application. It's important to note that errors can quickly be turned into exploits. For example, an error, instead of using a single quote or double quote to disrupt a normal query, it may be possible to rewrite the logic of the query with something like OR 1 equals 1 that might trick an authentication scheme into believing that a user has supplied a correct password. Additionally, it should be noted that errors, even if they can't be directly exploited, also provide some significant information about the backend database. This information can range from internal IP address ranges to usernames and even potentially database connection passwords. Here's an example of a very verbose error message that was generated by the database and has been propagated all the way to the web browser. In this case, we actually have a very long, somewhat complicated select statement. The benefit here for an attacker is that the full format of the select statement can be viewed, and therefore it's going to be much easier to exploit it. The placement of single quotes, the placement of parentheses, and even the placement, if necessary, of commas or semicolons is going to be very easy to figure out because we have a very well-informed error, very descriptive error that's been provided to the user. Here's another example of a database error that's been generated by a SQL injection test. In this case, the information returned is somewhat less verbose. All that we have to look at is a particular parameter and the value that was submitted to it that caused the error. Of note here is that on the previous slide, we were looking at a PHP application with a MySQL Server backend. In this case, we have an ASP application and a Microsoft Jet database engine. This is simply to illustrate that SQL injection vulnerabilities can affect most web languages and most type of databases. The real vulnerability lies in how the actual application was written. Here's yet one more example of an application, in this case written in JSP with a IBM DB2 backend. Once again, the error information is not quite as verbose. We cannot see the actual SQL statement that was being created, such as a select statement, but we still can identify that what the backend database is. Here's what a SQL injection attack might look like from an architectural point of view. In the top example, we have a login.cgi that is accepting two parameters, a U and a P, which stand for the username and password. You can see that the select statement that's used to verify this user selects one particular user, in other words, one row, from the user underscore table, and it must be qualified where U equals 24601 and P equals 1234. Therefore, what's going on is that if the web server submits this SQL query to the database and the database returns with one row, meaning that at least one row in this database has a user with a username 24601 and a password of 1234, then the web server can safely assume the web browser has submitted a valid username and password. Therefore, they can authenticate this user to the application, and the user then can continue to browse the application as a credentialed user. In the bottom example, we have the same login.cgi accepting the U and the P parameter. However, what we've done is actually used the U parameter to rewrite the core of the select statement. In this case, we're actually changing the logic of the select statement. If you look at it now, we can see that it's selecting a user. In other words, the select statement is looking for one row from this user table. Yet our qualifier now is where U equals 24601 or 1 equals 1. So what we can see here is that all we're going to do is select a user from the user table, and the only qualifier is the user ID must be correctly provided. In this case, we could even do the example of U equals 24601, quote, semicolon, and prematurely terminate the SQL query. In both cases, what we're doing is creating a new query that the web server will send to the database that is going to return as valid. In this case, we've created a query that only relies on providing the username. Therefore, as an attacker, we can target particular users, and we don't have to guess what their password may be. Whereas many SQL injection vulnerabilities are identified through error analysis, it is also possible to identify SQL injection vulnerabilities through deduction, and this is something that we term blind SQL injection. In this case, rather than identifying the vulnerability based on some textual error, we're going to identify the vulnerability based on the behavior of the web application. A real easy example is to consider numeric values. Consider a URL parameter called ID. During the original value of this parameter is 70. What we're going to do to determine if we can obtain, if we can affect a blind SQL injection vulnerability, is to take this ID equals 70 and rewrite it in some equal way that the database is going to resolve. So instead of ID equals 70, we'll take ID equals 60 plus 10, or perhaps ID equals 17. If we saw that in the application, we would rewrite it with modular arithmetic, such as ID equals mod 17, 18. Now the goal here is to assume that 60 plus 10 or mod 17, 18 will be sent unfiltered and unaffected through the web application into the database. What we're hoping for is that the database will actually resolve the math. When the database sees a particular SQL query or some type of database query, it will realize that it has to resolve 60 plus 10 or mod 17, 18 before it can resolve the rest of the where clause or select clause or insert or update or any other particular portion of the SQL query. Therefore, if we can submit a URL with ID equals 70, and we return back a page with a particular content, and we submit another URL where ID equals 60 plus 10, and the page returns the identical content, then usually we can assume that the content is driven by this ID parameter, and we've inserted some piece of arithmetic into the database. Now, it's important to note here that blind SQL injection using arithmetic, such as 60 plus 10, or using modular arithmetic, is one step for identifying the vulnerability. Once the vulnerability has been identified, it is still often possible to exploit the vulnerability. In this case, it may mean 60 plus 10 and then inserting a semicolon and creating an entirely new SQL query, such as dropping a table or creating new tables or dropping the database, for example. Another thing to keep in mind when considering SQL injection vulnerabilities and your application's exposure to them is that the tools necessary to exploit a SQL injection vulnerability rarely require more than a web browser. The exploits are also highly mutable. In other words, it's very easy to change signatures to avoid detection by intrusion detection systems or application firewalls. Additionally, many of these attacks can be executed over SSL. This means that the encryption lasts between the web browser and the web server. Therefore, it's going to bypass the monitoring of many, many network security devices. The impact of a SQL injection exploit often ranges from a simple information disclosure, such as errors, to significant financial loss if, for example, it enables an attacker to bypass a login page or to change accounts when performing financial transactions. It is possible that the application's architecture can mitigate what an attacker might achieve. And also to reiterate here that unlike buffer overflows or many other attacks, complex SQL injection exploits do not require advanced programming knowledge. They simply require knowledge of database tables and how to create database queries. When testing for SQL injection vulnerabilities, it's often important to keep in mind how they can be safely tested for in production environments. Very often, production environments don't reflect the exact same code level or the exact same server configurations or database configurations that are present within a testing or a staging environment. One of the simplest things is to simply search for errors that indicate the presence of a vulnerability without necessarily exploiting the vulnerability. For example, this would mean using incorrect syntax or invalid syntax to generate database errors and not necessarily running drop, delete, or shutdown commands. The testing regime for identifying SQL injection vulnerabilities lends itself to a very simple methodology. Each unique query must be identified, and then each parameter of that query must be tested. In the case here where you have a category and a brand parameter, each of those parameters must be tested individually. Additionally, there are different permutations that can be applied to each of those tests. For example, you could use a single quote in front of the parameter value, such as quote bat, or you could use a single quote after the parameter value, such as bat quote. The testing regime for blind SQL injection is no less rigorous. In this case, you create unique queries based on equivalencies that can use modular arithmetic or other types of arithmetic using addition and subtraction. Could also take advantage of other SQL queries or SQL language constructs, for example, using the bin or the limit or other types of SQL language constructs. In all cases, the testing must be comprehensive to make sure that correct input filtering is performed and to ensure that the guile of a hacker won't get around potential lapses in countermeasures. SQL injection countermeasures can be applied throughout the application. So they can be done to reduce information disclosure from error messages. Countermeasures can be set to create secure database queries. Countermeasures can also involve establishing an architecture that implements least privilege access controls to each of the two data within the database. This is similar to, example, row-based access controls. In all cases, secure coding performs a large part and contributes a large part to the defending your application from SQL injection attacks.
Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed Mike Shima's presentation. That's about all I got for today. I will try to get another podcast. I have another cheat that I'm going to be doing here, another guest lecturer from another one of the slideshows, and then I'll probably continue on some of my original content. I have a presentation I'm doing at a security conference next week. It's the 14th of December, and the topic I'm going to be discussing has to do with solving the web application security problems during the software development lifecycle rather than just finding it after the fact. And so I'll definitely have a lot of material put together. I'll have a big presentation I'll be doing, about an hour and 15 minutes, and I will definitely podcast that as well. I don't think I'll record while I'm doing it there, but I'll use my slides and the material and put that together as a slideshow. So that should be out in about a week or so, just right after or right before I actually do the live presentation. I may use the podcast here to prep for it. Anyway, that's it for today. Mighty Seek is out.
just listening for his call.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Seed is on the way.